Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about helping your child walk through their birth story. You know, Paul David Tripp says, we are meant to live lives that are connected to the beginnings and to endings. We are meant to live this way because all that we do is meant to have connection to the God of beginnings and endings, by whom and for whom we are created. So, Tara, why this topic today?
Well, my answer to moms who ask me this is pretty simple. Likely, our children are already going to be thinking about their birth story. At some point, they're going to ponder it. They're going to make conclusions about it with or without us. Adults and children alike are going to ask them about their story, and we need to give them a voice and help them sort through their stories to help them navigate life. So as their parents, we should really take this journey with them and to the best of our ability be their guide. And through it all, we have to embrace Jesus Christ and trust him for the pieces of the puzzle that he either chooses to reveal or to not reveal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And since they're already going to think about it, I think this surprised me the most. They're thinking about
it
a lot.
Even from the time they're small.
Yes. But since they're already going to be fielding these questions, we should help give them a voice. We want them to know that they can stand firm knowing that the one who created them was not surprised at any moment in their lives.
And that gives them comfort and security. And we may not understand. Goodness knows that we as parents do not understand. So they're certainly not going to understand why these circumstances occurred.
Yeah.
But we have to learn and to be able to share and teach them that they can trust him who is the author of their lives.
That's right.
And remind them of verses like Jeremiah 1:5 that says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Oh, yeah. That's so great. So, Tara, tell me, what is one way you've helped your kids explore their birth story?
Well, in order to give them a voice, we have to make sure they know the facts as we know them. So first of all, we should be sharing their adoption stories age appropriately as early as possible. So that kind of makes people nervous, I think, to be able to say, oh, I don't know that I want my child to know, especially if it's a difficult
beginning. Yeah, as adoptive moms, we do. We have that fear, let's be honest.
Right.
We panic maybe a little bit.
Oh,
here.
I for sure panicked. And But I did meet a gal one time. She's adopted, and she's an adoptive mom. And she gave me a piece of advice one time that she just said, don't be fearful to share the facts with your child. And her advice, as this is her personal experience and with other adult adoptees, is to find out that story before they hit puberty, when their hormones are raging and things are crazy in their mind. She just simply said, you know, Tara, they'll typically, in her experience, typically accept it as a fact and not as a personal affront to them.
Right.
And so that was scary because some of our children's birth stories are pretty difficult.
Yes.
But age appropriately, you can find the wording to be able to say, hey, let's talk through this, because you want them to have the facts where they're not in their head making up a story that isn't true.
Right. Right. So if you do this, then as they age, if you start young, like you're saying, you're already putting their story into words, and we're practicing it ourselves as parents.
Right.
And so it becomes I know at my home, in our house, it's become a natural conversation.
Right.
And so what about older children, though? This is kind of where we are now with older children.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned was, even if you bring home a newborn, to be able to, while you're feeding them that bottle, to be able to start talking to them about their birth story, because honestly, it's more for you as the parent and for those who are around you that you're practicing that, so that it does become a very natural conversation. For our children, they were older when they came home. They have memories of their life before coming to our home. But oftentimes they get their thoughts confused and jumbled. And so when we're talking about it, we just want to make sure that they understand that no question they have is out of the realm of possibility. And you almost have to train yourself to not look shocked or surprised when they ask you
those
questions.
And that's with biological kids and your adopted kids.
Yeah.
Just hold it together, mom.
Like, hang on tight till they're done and then go to your room.
That's right.
So at our house, we have a three-ring binder.
Absolutely. For each kid. I tell the kids, if the house catches on fire, grab the binders. Yeah. You know?
And I'm not a scrapbooker at all. But I have very easily been able to buy those, you know, plastic covers and put all the documents that I have into that binder. And they know that it's not off limits. So there may be times up until a certain age where we say, hey, we'll look at your book together.
Uh-huh.
And these are the things that, because, you know, one of them might say, well, I remember, I'm thinking maybe this happened. And we'll say, well, let's go back to the book because these are the facts as I have them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is everything I know about your beginnings.
And I will always be honest with you.
And I will always be honest with you. Yes, right. So I think just making sure that they recognize and know that you're willing to talk about it all the time, anytime that they want to, and that it's not a topic that's off limits, and that they know that there's access to that, you're not keeping any secrets at all.
And we hear people talk about making a timeline or a life book.
Right.
I think that's so important. One of our children, mine and yours, came home to us with a life book, a beginning.
Right. Experiences that they had in their orphanage. The orphanage director was super kind to.
That's unusual.
It is unusual to put pictures. But every time we would send our daughter a gift, which we got to do two or three times while she was over there, we sent a disposable camera. And just asked, we didn't know if it would happen or not, but we just said, hey, can you click pictures of her? And then they did. And I just said, stick that back in there.
That is a great idea.
So we have those pictures so she'll look at the pictures and say, oh, I do remember her, or I remember what my room looked like. Or those things help her kind of put things into focus.
Right.
But a timeline, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I've never done that. I mean, we've talked about it, but as far as making it visual.
My sister is the one who kind of talked to me about this. So she has children that she adopted, she and her husband, through foster care and internationally. But one of theirs was getting the facts really confused.
Uh-huh.
So my sister sat down with her paperwork and started writing, in this year, this was the home you were in.
Right.
And this year, this is where you were. Then this happened and, you know, on and on until you came to be with us. And you were with us for this amount of time before we were able to adopt. And that way they see, oh, we're taking that information from the.
And it gives value to every year of their life.
It does. And it helps them just sort of put things into their mind in the right way.
Right.
Because it's not their. I mean, I can't remember things that happened to me as a kid. A lot of things.
Right.
And sometimes I would get things confused and my mom would say, oh, that isn't how that happened. You remember blah, blah, blah. And then I'm thinking, okay, I get that.
Right.
I remember that. But it's important and it helps them to solidify their story in their mind.
Yeah, that's right. Write things down and add to them as they come. That's a great idea. Good point.
Well, you know, another thing that I think is super helpful when we're trying to help our children remember their birth story and talk about it in a natural way is to be able to use culture to prompt conversation. And what I mean by that is, let's face it, every Disney movie we go to has a plot line that begins with the character losing their parents.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I cannot enjoy my popcorn because I'm worried to death about what our kids are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, we can utilize cultural things, stories that happen in the news, movies that are occurring, books that they're reading, and be able to prompt a conversation.
Yeah.
So I have a friend that calls this tossing a pebble.
Yes.
So you toss the pebble and it may sink to the bottom and you get nothing. But other times you may prompt a conversation and all of a sudden they feel the safety and security to say, you know, I remember when this happened, or why do you think that happened, or tell me about, you know, my past. And we have to remember as moms to not be afraid and not be threatened by their curiosity.
And I've noticed, too, with teenagers, it happens at midnight.
Oh, my word.
You know, it really does. But I can't be afraid of that. We have to stop what we're doing and listen. And when this child, or sometimes you're just driving with them by yourselves, that can happen before they get their driver's license. That's sweet time together.
It is sweet time.
And they'll begin to open up.
Because they don't have to look at you when you're in the car together. So it's very non-threatening. They're looking out the window, asking questions. And so oftentimes I would say, hey, what did you think about that? Did that make you think about your birth mom?
Right.
And to not feel threatened. One of our kids calls his birth mom, mom.
Yeah.
And he calls me mom.
Right.
He doesn't delineate my mom, my first mom, my second mom. He just says, hey, mom, you know, today I was thinking about my mom.
Right.
Which would be an odd conversation if anybody heard us outside of it. But I can't feel threatened by that because she gave him life.
Right.
And I have to value her for him.
And it really helps bring them to a wholeness in that realm when you give their birth mom value.
Yes.
And that's the Lord calls us to do that. He enables us to do that. I know in our family and in yours as well, what we're noticing is adoption is generational. What I mean is...
Right.
Our older children or adopting children will adopt or foster children.
Correct.
And so what we've noticed with that, we've had an adopted grandchild. We now have a foster grand. That's opening up a thought process for our adopted teens in our home. And they're thinking, is that how my story began?
Right.
Was I put in one family and removed and put in another family?
Right.
And so it's opening a lot of conversation in our home. So this is so helpful to me.
It is. And it's so healthy for them to be able, in the safety of your home, knowing that they are treasured and deeply loved, for you to be able be willing to hear that, to be able to engage in that conversation. And it's also so vital for us to be able, at the end of that midnight conversation, when we are tired, to be able to say, you know, even if your birth mom was not making stellar choices, or even if your birth mom made this amazing plan for you, either way, the Lord Jesus formed you in her womb.
That's right.
And brought you into this world for a purpose. And though your beginnings are hard, it does not define who you are today. And we can trust him that he has your plan forever. So always pointing them back to the cross, even in those difficult conversations.
Well, I love your suggestions, you know, to just keep things organized in a binder. Mm-hmm. Keep your documents together. That's so important to me. I have to. Emails, birth history, orphanage pictures, and make a timeline or a life book. I know we'll have a great resource about that in our show notes. And then use culture to prompt conversation. Keep a journal.
We have one child that really, this was very beneficial. It was not beneficial for the other two. But one of the things he would often do is, he's really tender-hearted, and he would think about things, but he didn't necessarily want to talk about them.
Right.
So we just kept a journal. It was really just for a season of maybe about 2 years, and I kept a journal in a certain spot, and I said, if ever you have a question or you feel sad or you want to write a letter thinking, you know, maybe we could get her this letter. I don't know. But if you ever want to write your thoughts down, write them down here, and then lay it at my bedside, and I'll write something back. And for those
couple
of years,
that's a great idea.
I didn't make that up. Somebody else told me that.
That's a great idea, though, because it makes it not so big.
Right.
It takes away Satan wants to magnify that and convince them you can't overcome this.
Right.
But if you write it down and you say, let's handle this together.
Right. And we're going to give it to the Lord. It's just that I can't emphasize enough how helpful it's been over the years for us to just make this such a natural conversation from the beginning and not to feel threatened by any of it. It's hard. There are some days that I just got frustrated. Like, we've had the same conversation, but they at different times in their life are going to process it.
Right, differently.
And we have to still, the Lord has called us to be guide and parent for them. And so that's what we're going to do.
I found myself saying even to one last night, we will always help you in any way. If you want to search, if you need to, you want to try to look up a name or find a name, we will help you.
Right.
You know, Tara, only the Holy Spirit can give us the peace do that and not feel threatened by that. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, too, we have to really be able to be okay with the Lord can choose to reveal. He knows every detail about their story.
That's right.
Or he can choose not to. And that's a hard line to follow. For years and years, we didn't know anything about one of our kids' families. And just in this last summer, the Lord blew the door open in ways we could never have manufactured.
Right.
To the point she was able to meet her biological sister, to be able to spend time with her. It's the craziest story ever how the Lord did that. I couldn't have done that.
No, only he can do that.
Only he can
do
that.
And how did you see that change her life, your daughter's life?
You know, it was really one of those things where she had seen where one of our boys does have contact with his birth mom.
Right.
And it's been a healthy thing for him. And she was always super supportive and super grateful, and she would always minister to him in the sweetest and kindest of ways and say, you know, I know you're hurting right now, but you have, you know something.
You have a,
I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And so to see her as a young adult walk through this, you know, I really wanted to be there with her when all of this went down. And the Lord made it in such a way where she had to walk this path without either one of us with her.
Because we're talking overseas.
Overseas.
Yeah.
And he was gracious to have believing, wonderful women come alongside her that we had known for years to walk along with her. But it wasn't how I thought it was going to turn out. And I'm a little bit jealous, I have to say, that I wasn't there with her. But it's kind of helped her realize the big picture of what the Lord has done in her life. And so we, and the, it, it's helped her just to be able to trust in him even more. Because I've told her before, sweetie, you know there's no way we could have made this work. Only the Lord is the one who intervened.
That's right.
And so it just is another way to point her that her foundation is in the Lord Jesus. One of the things that I think we really need to be careful about in guiding our children is making sure that they know their identity is not in linked to that portion of their life. It is, and I don't want to be insensitive in that way at all. But what I'm saying is that I knew our kids, and you know your kids, have to find their identity first and foremost in Christ.
Yes.
Circumstances are going to be tough in life.
Yeah.
There are going to be easy things that happen to us and stinky things that happen to us.
Yeah.
But our foundation, our identity is in Christ.
Yeah.
And knowing that He formed us in our mother's womb, and He brought us into this world, and He has a plan for our lives.
Right, and training our kids not to see horizontally what the Lord's given them vertically.
Exactly.
And I pray that for myself as well. We all need that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the final points that I think is important in helping our kids work through discovering their birth story, and this is one that's kind of tough because you have to be super careful and know the situation, is to consider having dialogue with the first with the birth family if it's possible and if it's safe. And if the dialogue is not possible or safe, making sure that any information that you can glean or gain for them for their future will be beneficial. So I know in the States, when you're adopting, that that can be tricky. And so you know your family situation far better than we do. But if there is a possibility to have conversations, if it's a domestic adoption, with birth mom, I know you were able to meet your granddaughter's birth mom.
Right.
So just those stories that you'll be able to share with your granddaughter will be invaluable to her.
Because you may think at this point, oh, I'm not going to need that.
Right.
I don't need to document that. They're not going to care about that.
They
will care.
They will care.
They need to know that God saw them. God knows what's going on. And God had a plan.
That is exactly true. So I just think those are important for our child who is able to have contact with his birth mom in Ethiopia, which is super strange and odd. It has been very restorative to him to know that we're okay if he has that conversation. And we tell our kids all the time, anytime you're ready, we are ready and willing, just like what you said, to search, to look. We're on your team. We're all a part of this together. We'll do whatever we can to help you.
We support you in this. Absolutely.
And we don't know how it's going to turn out or if it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad, but we're on your team. So just to recap some of those things is that we want to give our child a voice and we want to be able to help them get the facts correct as we know them by making a timeline, by making a life book, by documenting and keeping things. Our kids are not necessarily going to be able to, they may not feel like they can ask us questions, so be able to prompt them, tossing a pebble, prompt them with conversation, maybe keep a journal, be able to have dialogue with birth family if possible.
That's right. That's a great place to end there. Mm-hmm. And so if we can help you in that area, you feel threatened maybe to start that conversation with your child, just as Tara said, throw out pebbles. And sometimes, how did you word that? Sometimes they sink.
Sometimes they'll respond to those questions. Sometimes those pebbles will sink, and sometimes there'll be a ripple effect, and you'll be in a 3-hour conversation.
But they are thinking about this.
They are.
And they are processing this. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future.
Right. Don't be fearful. The Lord created their story, and the Lord will help guide you through it. This is not a competition between you and birth family. The Lord Jesus created this story, and He's given you the time to be able to walk alongside your child. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you being with us. You've been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. We're so glad you've taken time to listen today. Keep in mind, we're a ministry of the North American Mission Board and funded through the Annie Armstrong offering and your giving to the cooperative program. We look forward to talking more about adoption, fostering, and orphan care and how you can be involved.